fun, oh yeah. Recovery 101 is a sober show, the only place to go. Bruce and Shelly and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAPA, or Twizzlers. Shelly got a whole bag of Twizzlers. We don't speak for them either. By the way, welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with
Shelly.
And Mark.
She's like, a mouthful of Twizzlers.
That's the only reason why I didn't take any.
Yeah, because you know what? They're not as easy to. These things are like.
They stay with you for a while.
They're about an inch long or three quarters. They're not like the regular Twizzlers, red vines type of
plus,
thing.
Plus, you know what the other problem is? I've got a temporary in right now.
I'll yank that crap right out.
I'll take one with me to the dentist's office. It'll pull it right out.
Dude, you know what? Think of all the candies like that back in the day. The ones
sugar
that would just
daddies.
Destroy your teeth.
Sugar daddies.
Sugar daddies.
Abba Zaba.
Abba Zaba Milk Duds. That's right, Marty.
The Jolly Rancher sticks, the long sticks.
Yes.
Yeah, they would just, they'd like yank your teeth right out of your head. There was other ones, too, and I can't remember what they all are, but Lappy Tappies. Anything that's got that gription.
Gription?
Gription.
Yeah. Big hunks.
Gription.
Big hunk.
Big hunk.
Big, yeah, gription.
That is a fantastic word.
Gription.
You just coined a new word. I am definitely using that.
Sweet.
Gription. That is a terrific word.
I like it.
I'm going to turn that into Urban Dictionary.
Okay. It's probably. My guess is it's probably in there. I don't know. Gription. Awesome! I already did the welcome, didn't I?
You did.
Wow. Shelly's neck is hurting.
Yes, and the
everyone write into the show
worse.
To say whether they think she should sue or not sue.
To sue or not to sue?
To sue or not to
that
sue.
That is the question.
She's had pain for days and days and days. It could be something that shows up later in life again. Shelly doesn't want to make people at where she works mad, like she's suing them personally.
I'm going to sue on her behalf if she doesn't. That's right.
So we're just wondering. She thinks it's unethical for some reason.
They're paying my salary while I'm not working.
Sure.
They're paying workman's comp.
Right, because you can't work.
So they're paying all my medical bills.
You know why they're doing that so willingly? Because they're hugely at fault for what happened.
Yes. Yeah, of course. But paying, the reason, I mean, you make it like, well, they're paying me for not working. Yeah, because you can't work because you got injured. It's not.
What am I going to sue for? They're
pain
covering.
Pain and suffering.
Future
that.
Medical. What do you? Whoa.
But I got an idea.
Pain and suffering?
I have an
How
idea.
How much extra are they giving you above what your normal
they're
not. Would
they're,
be?
They're covering my medical bills.
I have an idea.
What?
Call a lawyer.
I can't afford a lawyer.
I've got several that'll take the case.
Oh, they'll take it pro bono.
No, they don't take it pro bono. They'll take it on.
What did I say, pro bono?
They'll take a percentage. They'll take a percentage.
Yeah. And how do you figure that you're getting paid for your pain and suffering?
Well, how much am I really suffering? I don't even need Vicodin. How much am I really suffering?
Well, we should sue them because you're killing us.
Yeah.
Why? Because I why? Because I wouldn't take the Vicodin?
No, because every time I see you, you're going, God, I got to put my neck brace back on because my neck is killing me. And, I didn't realize how much I move my neck when I sing. Yeah. And, it really hurts. And,
I can't give you a hug at meetings.
I can't bend over and do anything. And I can't.
I can bend over. They just don't want me to.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow. I knew she was going to go there.
Do you know
that she goes there almost every show?
You are the one that goes there. I didn't bow, chicka, bow, bow anything.
Didn't you just say? I thought you said you bent over.
No, they won't let me bend over.
She went there again. I can't believe it.
Okay. It's time for the boozy news. It's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. Yes,
she told you.
Your job.
Don't forget your lighter,
usurped.
Bruce.
Usurped.
Don't forget your lighter.
Yes, your lighter is sitting here on the chair.
What are you talking? I don't smoke. What are you talking about?
Dude.
We've actually had people complain about that on the show. Like suddenly, you know, it's almost like when people cuss in the meeting, I'm like, oh, my virgin ears.
Yeah. All you hear when you listen to the show in the background is the sound of cigar torches going off.
Oh, people just assume we're smoking crack or meth.
Okay. Now, here's an odd thing.
I never hear that anyway.
I don't know exactly what this is.
Yeah, you do.
Has anyone... No, not that. I'm talking about the story. Has anyone ever heard of a martini competition?
Well, yeah, it'd be a competition on who makes the best martinis.
That would be my guess.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
it's a big deal.
There were two men in attending. There were two men attending one in Cape Coral,
Florida.
Where else?
Yes,
Cape Coral. I mean, it's got to be.
They were attending this thing, and they told the police that a man later identified as Matthew Keith. Along with his underage brother, pulled down their pants and mooned them while riding a trolley.
Whoa. Who pulled down whose pants?
Matthew Keith and his younger brother.
Okay.
Pulled down their pants and mooned these two unidentified men.
Okay.
While riding a trolley at this martini competition. The two men then later told the brothers that they needed to clean up their act. The brothers then responded by hitting the two guys in the face. However, they picked on the wrong guys.
Oh, here it comes.
If you go to the Lee County Sheriff's Office and look up Matthew Keith and see his mugshot, they pounded him. Oh, my gosh. His face is Swiss cheese.
His mug is shot.
Yes.
I met a bartender one time who was getting ready to go compete in the martini competition. And,
wow.
I had a couple drinkers with me. And he showed me a martini that he was going to make for the competition. She needs a lighter. and she's got two of them right there.
Thank you.
And he showed me a martini, and he called it the panty dropper. One martini and the panties drop.
Wow, that's the drink I always look for. We called it Sigma Chi Green, goddammit.
Yeah.
It was mostly Everclear.
Yeah.
But the problem is, it was a female dropper. The panties didn't drop. The entire female just hit the floor.
And that mattered to you, why?
No need for Prohibnol.
Jesus.
I'm just saying.
Oh, God. Try not to.
Hey, wait.
What?
Before you go, you're talking about all these guys beating up. There's a video on YouTube of this guy who is like, he's some martial arts trainer, and he's walking across the street, and there's some pimp who's, like, beating the crap out of this chick, and he goes and tells the guy he needs to lay off the chick, and this guy starts to try and wail on this martial arts trainer. And you see the guy, like, he does, like, one move and just, like, cracks this guy. This guy goes down so hard on the ground, and the guy walks across the street, like, shrugs his shoulders, like, eh. You should have seen this guy. He couldn't hardly get up off the ground, and people are trying to help him up off the ground. It's awesome. Martial arts trainer knocks pimp out. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube.
You spend way too much time on YouTube.
Dude.
YTA.
That will never be better than the little old lady crossing the street that whacked the guy's car with her purse when he honked at her
because
she was going too slow, and it set off his airbag.
Oh, yeah.
That was hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
I love that one. Okay. In Clovis, California, the...
isn't that where, like, the Garlic Festival is or something?
No, that's in Gilroy.
That's Gilroy.
Oh, Gilroy.
Close.
Yeah, it's close. It's near Fresno.
Right around the corner from Fresnek.
What?
Right around the corner from Fresnek.
Yes. These are the Jack Wagons of the Week.
The Jack Wagons of the Week?
We don't know who they are, actually.
I like that.
Thieves broke into a shed owned by the Children's Hospital Adaptive Sports Program.
Oh, are you kidding me?
And stole all of the recreational equipment that's used for therapy
for handicapped kids. Do it.
Yeah. Idiots.
Can we get those guys from Florida to go beat the shit out of them?
I think we should. And the really sad part is in that general area, it's the only program of its kind for physical therapy for kids that
now,
have like cerebral palsy and
stuff. Give us
the hero
of the week. What corporation is stepping up?
No one has yet.
Dreamland Mattress.
Done right. Wow.
In association with the Brick House.
Yeah.
But if anyone has any information, just on the off chance that one of our listeners is from Fresno and happens to have heard anything about this.
Wow, are you like trying to front off one of our listeners?
No, I'm just saying they can call 559-353-6500 and give information. No questions asked.
I'm willing to bet that our listener, who is a good friend of ours that is up in that area, he probably knows people that he could get to like take people out like that. I'm thinking he does.
He might. He knows a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you know.
You notice I sat here quietly, didn't make any of the adaptive physical education jokes?
I know.
That was very good of you.
Thank you.
In New Jersey.
Billy played third base. Oh, he was third base? But no, he was third base.
You couldn't resist, could you?
Couldn't.
A judge has thrown out a lawsuit.
See, I was about to go there.
I know you were.
I was about to go there. What do you call it? No, never mind.
Okay.
I was gonna do a joke that had the punchline Bob. See if you can think of what the joke was.
The guy in the swimming pool with no arms and no legs?
Yeah.
Okay, can I move on to New Jersey now? Because I'm tired of this conversation.
We're not.
yes, but I'm in charge of the boozy news.
You
Asian
are.
Girl with one leg?
Irene.
A judge has thrown out a lawsuit filed by a New Jersey man who blamed Wicked Willie's Bar on Bleecker Street for getting him so drunk that he tried to cross a highway and got run over.
Beaker Street.
Bleecker.
Oh, Bleecker.
I mean Bleecker. Yeah, I was looking up a thing today on like the most popular street names in America for a company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one in New Orleans, right?
New Jersey.
Oh.
We're in New Jersey.
I don't know what I was thinking then.
I don't either. Anyway.
It's a popular street though, right?
Alan Berger. He dominated beer pong. On that fateful night at Wicked Willie's.
Dominated. He got dominated or dominated?
No, he dominated beer pong.
So how did he get so drunk?
No,
that's
winning,
what
winning
the lawyers for the Wicked Willie's said.
Yeah.
He was playing beer pong. He got so intoxicated that when he left to go home, he got off the bus, and accidentally walked across the freeway instead of walking home and got hit.
Oops.
He broke his
beer pong team. In my college, and if you play really good beer pong, you get the other team really drunk.
He broke his hip, his leg, his foot, tore both his knees, and sustained a lacerated liver.
That's not bad.
When they checked his blood alcohol content at the hospital, it was a 0.26.
Okay. Homeboy is not good at beer pong. I don't care what he says.
Well, he and his lawyer claimed that he was winning, and Wicked Willie's defense was that if he was winning, he wouldn't have been drunk.
But you know what? But you know what? Winning and losing in beer pong have a different winning and losing meaning than in other sports. Because if you're winning, that means the other team is making the balls and you're drinking the beer.
Not so much.
No.
You can drink anyway, though. I mean, I can't say that like we were like stone cold sober, but no. In my fraternity, we used to have people that trained to be on certain teams because if you're playing drinking games versus a sorority, there's guys that do nothing but play quarters. That's all they do. And all week long, you'll see them practicing throwing quarters into a cup, you know, and the beer pong guys and the ship's captain crew guys. And it's like that's what these guys would do so that when we played the sororities, they got good and hammered. No need for Prohypnol.
Why do you keep calling it Prohypnol?
Prohypnol.
It's Rohypnol.
Bro.
We knew what he meant.
Okay,
at
any
rate.
So
what's Prohypnol?
That's what they sell in West Hollywood.
San Francisco.
At any rate, the judge said the plaintiff voluntarily engaged in the drinking game and consumed alcohol to the point of diminished capacity. To which FARC News Agency, where I get some of my stories, replied, "This now sets a dangerous legal precedent in which drunk people are responsible for the consequences of their actions."
No shit.
Yikes.
PETA should declare them slaves.
Drunk people?
Yeah.
Drunk.
Like dolphins.
Okay. In Carrollwood.
Carrollwood what state?
In Carrollwood.
Florida.
Thank you.
Oh.
A man was critically burned after he tried to torch his estranged wife and his little plan backfired, literally. a woman named Capitola Scott could hear her neighbor, Gloria Davis, screaming for help and saw her being chased by her...
That guy who was on fire?
By the husband who she'd separated from. When she went outside and looked, she was being chased by her soon-to-be ex, who was carrying a can of gasoline and attempting to throw it on her because he wanted to set her on fire.
That means he's splashing it all over himself.
He
while he's
splashed
running.
It all over himself, and then he decided since she got away that he couldn't get her, he was going to torch her house. He struck a match and went up in flames.
I'm going to start my ex on fire. How are you going to do that? I'm going to start myself on fire and jump on her.
Yeah.
Good plan.
Nice.
Yeah, really.
So is he alive? Or
he is dead? Alive, but he's in the hospital in critical condition. Okay. Now we're also in...
Florida!
Okay. I thought this one was humorous because this
Fran
judge...
sent these, didn't she?
She sent one of them, but I think. This one I got off of FARC. This judge... needs a wife or a girlfriend or somebody to instruct him in romance because he has not a clue what he's talking about. He ruled on Tuesday that a man who had gotten involved in a scuffle with his wife must treat her to a romantic evening at a local bowling alley, preceded by a romantic meal at Red Lobster.
Wait. Romantic evening at a bowling alley?
Yes. At any rate, Joseph...
What trailer park are these guys from?
After knocking off a fruit stand to pay for it all.
This was Judge John Hurley that made this decision. Joseph Bray and his wife Sonia had gotten...
The guy from Family Feud?
God's calling. God is calling.
At any rate, Judge John Hurley ordered Joseph Bray and his wife Sonia. They had gotten into an argument. He decided that the argument, they'd have no priors. There was no history of domestic violence in this family at all. She was upset because he forgot her birthday. Didn't even say happy birthday. Nothing. Just the day passed with nothing. She was upset, and she let him know about it. They got into an argument, and he shoved her into the couch. She called the police because...
Was it a sofa bed?
It didn't say.
Because that'd be funny.
You know, from her perspective, I guess, oh my gosh, this is domestic abuse because they'd never had, you know, they've been married a long time and there's never been any history of it. The judge decided that that was not a pattern of domestic violence and that he just needed to learn how to be a romantic man. So he sentenced...
At the bowling alley.
So he sentenced them to a romantic evening at the bowling alley and Red Lobster.
No. Okay, I'm kind of there with the Red Lobster thing, but the bowling alley?
No, Red Lobster is not romantic. Red Lobster
romantic,
is where you go
tasty.
To get salmonella.
Wow. That is not really what happens there.
No,
in case anyone from Red Lobster is listening
yes,
to
okay,
our podcast.
I don't mean that literally.
I prefer my salmon on the wood plank.
Yeah.
I don't mean that literally. Plus, I don't think you get salmonella from fish, do you? You get something else.
You get it from eggs, chicken.
Yeah. Okay, the last one. Also, it's coming from
Florida.
Fish,
you get full.
Yeah.
It's coming from...
Florida!
Yeah, we know that already.
Last one. A Florida
Promise?
Woman was arrested Sunday after she failed a field sobriety test, during the test, she kept claiming that she would be able to pass the test if it were not for her big boobies.
Usually that helps them pass the test.
This needs closer inspection.
She drove her gray Toyota Camry 50 miles per hour through a 35 mile per hour zone, swerved over the double yellow line twice before parking her car across two spaces in a Walgreens parking lot.
She was trying to miss the dog.
The purple one?
Cops responded to the reckless vehicle complaint from someone, found her in the driver's seat, reeking of alcohol and slurring her speech. The cop, I'm going to quote the cop here, he's saying, when I told her we were going to do some roadside tasks, she told me I was going to need to understand that she is big-chested, and if I asked her to close her eyes and balance, she's not going to balance well. She told me, big breasts, you don't balance well. Asked if she had any injuries, she told the officer that she had big breasts and whiplash. When asked to walk
and
a straight...
And two black eyes.
When asked...
From jogging.
Well, no, the black eyes are coming up in a minute here, because when asked to walk a straight line, she began to dance. The officer
the
then
tassel
said...
The tassel started moving clockwise.
The officer then said, when I told her she had to keep her hands at her side, she stated, hell no, not with these. telling me again she couldn't do it, not with her big boobies. She then began to take her clothes off to try to show me her big boobies, and I stopped her.
This woman is a party at a bar, I can tell you right now.
So she was taken into custody and released on bond. No, what happened was she got drunk and she decided that she was going to try and talk her way out of the ticket with her big boobies, and she was so drunk that it didn't work.
Wow.
So.
She's still a party at a bar.
Do you know in Florida they passed a law requiring if you're asking for public assistance to get drug tested?
Yes.
And.
Let's not discuss that.
In the first.
Why?
Well, listen, in the first.
Because it will lead to an argument.
Well, no, good.
Here we go.
The idea is to give, you know, to have people that are, like, doing dope and stuff not get money.
Yeah.
So far, it's cost the state $200,000 because if you. You have to use your own money to test.
Uh-huh.
But if you test clean, they have to refund you the money.
Uh-huh.
And so far, 98% of the people are testing clean, so it's actually costing the state a ton of money.
That's okay.
And they were doing it because they said that people on assistance get loaded more than people that don't, except for the average percentage is about 9% of people that just in the general populace that get loaded. And so far, they're only finding 2% of the poor people get loaded.
Yeah. Do a follow-up test 2 weeks later.
We'll have
Did
to
we
see.
Already do the doot-to-doots?
No, because we weren't done.
No, because we hadn't... What are you talking about? We hadn't finished?
Oh, okay, well...
Just because you were done doesn't mean it was done.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Shout out to the New Way Foundation.
Absolutely. A fine. There since, what was it, 1948?
67.
You're right there, though. You were right there.
Yeah, but the thought was there in 48.
The last thing I say in the ad is, since 1967.
I'm just trying to
And then our friends at Sober College come in with the jingle.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Shelley, what's the topic?
The family during and afterward.
How would you like to cover that?
I don't know. It wasn't my topic.
It is your topic. You're on the show.
You don't have any decision-making capability here?
I don't know.
That's what happens when a bunch of books fall in your head.
God.
We could talk about Angry Birds addiction.
Yes, because I've been off work, and I can't bend. Well, I'm not supposed to bend, but I still
can't
because
bend.
I have to pick up my dog.
Can't bend.
And I'm not supposed to pick up anything more than 5 pounds, and my dog weighs 7 pounds, so I'm breaking two rules right there.
Wow.
But
case
dog,
just went out the window.
The dog must be picked up. I'm sorry. Yes, I've been playing Angry Birds a little bit, but I think I'm all done with it now.
How does that work in with the family afterwards?
I don't know. You were the one who asked me.
What happens? Not either. Why'd you bring it up?
Yeah, you brought it up.
Well, what happens to the rest of the family when you're stuck on Angry Birds, just like when you were drinking?
They all fight me for my Kindle so they can play.
Does Connor play?
Yes. You play.
I do. On occasion.
On occasion?
So if we likened your Angry Bird playing to alcoholism, how would that work out?
Well, I don't know. When I first got sober, I went from being passed out with my head over the side of the bed, over the trash can, to being passed out in bed with popsicle sticks stuck all over my pajamas. So it was pretty much the same thing, only just I switched from booze to popsicles. I went through a lot of popsicles my first year.
Now, did we say the family before and afterwards?
During and after.
During and afterwards.
Just during and after. During recovery or, well, you know, during getting loaded and afterwards?
Yeah.
I don't know. It wasn't a real fun place around here when I was getting loaded. I wouldn't take the kids anywhere. I wouldn't do anything other than my things because my things all involved alcohol. And then after I got sober, it was kind of rough for a while because I was in meetings all the time and I was having nervous breakdowns.
I used to think she was such a bitch. I get a call from my daughter. Shelly won't take me to my friend's house.
Which is like 3 blocks away.
She won't let me walk and she won't take me. And I talked to Shelly, and Shelly, I can't even remember the excuses you would give, and I'd be like thinking, what a bitch.
She had to change her underwear.
You know, what a
yes,
bitch.
I had to change my underwear.
I couldn't figure it out. You know, I mean, I'm like, what the hell? Why won't she take her?
Because I knew that if I drove, I would be the one that got the DUI. It's the same reason I didn't do drugs. A lot of my friends did drugs when I was in high school, but I knew that if I did it, I would be the one that got caught.
I did drugs.
So I was... And I have an unnatural fear of going to jail.
I never got caught doing drugs.
You got caught after.
I got caught after.
I know. My friends didn't get caught either. I just knew that I would be the one that got caught.
I got one under the influence.
Plus,
I
was
substance.
In Alateen and had parents in the program. You didn't think they were going to notice something really if I came home amiss?
That really screwed up your drinking.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? The program screwed up my drinking my whole life. I can count on one hand the number of times I enjoyed and controlled my drinking.
How about you, Mark, during... Now, during was mostly with your parental family, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I can tell you a story about how long-term it affected my mother.
Okay.
Because I was known to take things, and it was completely their fault that I took them.
They hid them
in the same place all the time.
Yeah.
You know, they should have found a different hiding place.
That's because they're not dope fiends. You know how easy it is to find parents' shit?
No, I know. Easy. So, Christmas before last, I have 25 years of sobriety. I take my mother to run her errands. She's 80 years old. I'm taking my mother for her manicure. And as we are pulling into the parking lot, she goes, shoot, I forgot the gift from my manicurist. I said, no problem. I'll drop you off. Give me your key. I'll go back and pick up the gift. The hesitation.
Did she give you the look?
The hesitation before she... Because she kind of said, well, that... Well, I mean...
It's like...
It never goes away. I don't know if I'm going to give you a key to my house. You know? 25 years later.
That's been a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you could still see the hesitation. And it's, you know, that never goes away.
You know what? I've been lucky, though. It's gone away for my mom. But I think my mom has seen me without fail for 22 years. I mean, I've never gone more than a couple, 3 days without a meeting. I mean, she just knows that just bam, 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 bam. Because now she'll leave on vacation. Hey, take care of the animals. Do this, do that. Yeah, watch the house. No problem. She'll just give me the
word. So you're getting the eye.
Oh, because of take care of the animals. She's going to say
take
that
care
she's
of the animals.
The one that
excuse
does
me? Yeah, I'm the one that takes care of the animals. The two times that I asked you to do it, I found out later. Oh, my personal
favorite. This is the alcoholism after right here. Do you
yeah,
hear?
This is the after.
She's a flaming alcoholic right now.
This is the after. No, for you and your little behavior, because I said, go over and check on the cats, which actually means go over and feed them and water them and scoop their box.
Hey, if I go and look at their food still in the dish.
Cats hate being watered,
water,
by the way.
I go in the next morning to check on the cats. The box is completely full of crap.
It is.
They
not.
Have no
there's
food. They have no
there's
water.
Two cat boxes.
And I said later on. I said, Bruce, I asked you to check on the cats. Why didn't you do it? He said, I did check on the cats. And I said, no, you didn't. Because
they were fine.
If you checked on the cats, the box wouldn't have been so full. And you know what he said? He said, I did check on them. I went and looked, and then I left. I checked on them.
I looked at the cats. I looked at, there was food in the bowl, there was water in the dish.
There wasn't enough. That's alcoholic thinking.
Left.
Oh, okay, bye.
We're going to feed them.
Letter of the law. I did check on them. They were still there. Ha ha.
Listen, this is 10 o'clock at night after a meeting, and there's still food in the dish. Are they not going to make it till morning when we go over there again?
Well, obviously they didn't, because when I came in, Tootie came running.
Oh, they didn't make it. So they were both dead of starvation on the floor when you went in?
No, they were just all hungry.
Well, yeah, because it was time to eat.
Yeah, it's breakfast now. They had their midnight snack.
I'm just saying, you're doing the whole letter of the law thing. That's an Elkie thing.
Why is that? I don't get it. I'm not sure why that's an Elkie thing.
Okay,
I look, there's food in the dish. Okay.
This is 4 minutes we're all never going to get back in our lives.
None of you guys are ever going to get that back. This is what happens when you get an alcoholic sober. She goes into these tirades.
Oh, so this is my fault.
I didn't bring it up.
And away we go.
I didn't bring it up. Ding, ding. Round two. No, but my mom now, you know, during was not good. I mean, I remember one time being in the bathroom in my bedroom, my dad knocking on the door, and I've been up slamming all night, you know. And I remember I opened the door to the bathroom, and my dad just gave me that look like, I know you've been getting loaded. And, I mean, I was tore up from the floor up. And I never wanted to see that look in my dad's eyes again, because it was that kind of look like, my son's about to die.
Yeah.
And it was like that hopeless look that someone gets, like where you know, it's almost like guys that you've seen go in and out of the program a bunch of times, and then you see them, and they're all jacked up, and you look at them, you're like, dude. The guy that used to come around the front of my store, this guy Ted, used to show up in front of my store all the time, and James and I would sit and talk to him. I'm like, Ted, dude, if you don't do something, you're going to die. And like 2 weeks later, they found him dead behind my store. He fell over walking while drunk and hit his head off the sidewalk. And that was it, you know. And I was like, and you know, just, I would give him that same look that my dad gave me, and I just didn't want to see that anymore. How about you, Mark?
You know, I see it now with guys that I sponsor and their families.
That's almost like family in a way.
And their families, you know, and just, it never really dawned on me what the family went through until I watch other families going through it. And, you know, just the, you know, and they're turning to me, asking me.
And do you ever find them looking at you and like, trying to, like, justify? Like that whole, like, that last maternal thing where they know they're effing up, but they're like, well, he's going to meetings and stuff. I mean, he's doing good, but...
Yeah.
But he's not doing good.
And then he's out, and it's like, what do I do? I'm afraid my son's going to die.
Right. Right.
And what do you tell him?
You're right, he's going to die. Can I have his stuff? I mean,
yeah. Can I have his TV?
Yeah, does he have anything good?
No, he doesn't have anything good. He's gotten rid of it all. You know,
he traded it all.
And it's just, yeah, and it's so hard to watch, and it makes me always reflect back to, what did I put my family, through this.
Yes.
So, there's a lot going on here. There's
a
lot going on here right now that has nothing to do with the show. You people who are listening right now,
around.
There's like coffees being passed around and a big pipe and
big pipe. Wait, I don't see the pipe. How did I miss the pipe? I need a straw.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Oh, Shelly needs a straw.
Shelly needs the pipe.
Shelly needs a straw. Yeah. Marty, you want to pass her the mirror? She's got the straw.
The mirror's over there on top of the printer. Oh, no. Sorry, I moved the mirror. I put it away for safety.
You moved the mirror?
Oh, my God. I saw a thing, and it was talking about, I'll have to remember how it went, but it was talking about Winnie the Pooh characters and how they're all clearly drug addicts, and how Eeyore just sits around and he's depressed and he doesn't really do anything all day, so he's smoking a lot of weed. And Piglet's like always paranoid and sketchy, so, you know, he's been smoking coke. And Tigger's just bouncing around everywhere, never runs out of energy, and he's on ecstasy. And Christopher Robin thinks he can talk to animals, so he's obviously on mushrooms. Pooh is sitting around like all you know, zinged out all the time, so he's on LSD.
And Owl knows everything and is always helpful. He's the dealer.
Yeah, and Owl helps everyone out. He's the dealer. I don't know why that just came to mind. But...
thanks for sharing.
Well, you know. So, Shelley, what would your final words on the family during and afterwards be?
I don't know. It's not exactly the sort of topic that lends itself to, like, a summation. It's sort of an ongoing project. It starts out, you know, life starts out pretty good. You have a young couple, family, they're raising their kids, everything's great. One of them goes haywire, whether it's the kid or the adult, whatever. Things get really, really bad for a while. Then if they're lucky, the person will get sober, then things get good. And then it's an ongoing story, and hopefully it stays good. You just gotta, what is it? Trust God, clean house, help others. That's what they say.
Okay. Mark.
Yes.
Final words.
As dope addicts, we tend to really take advantage of a parent's love for as long as we can. And when we reach a point where we've destroyed that, you know we've hit bottom.
True. I like the words of George Costanza from Seinfeld.
That's not a real
said,
character.
We should live life backwards. You know, you start out coming to life. You know, and you're not really doing that well. And the longer you've been around, you start to feel younger and younger, and you get good, and you get married, and you do this, you get to go to college, you get to be a kid again, you get to play. You end up, you know, everyone taking care of you all the time and feeding you, and you end up with an orgasm.
How does that, okay, never mind. I'm just looking for the wall that came off of.
That was it. That was my final words. That's the way it should be.
Okay.
We're out.
You think I haven't been doing
take care
any
of you.
You think I haven't been doing any hallucinogens? Okay.
That stuff never completely gets out of your system, you know.
You know,
he's having a flashback.
One of our videos on YouTube that I talk about a guy that I freaked out on acid one time, and I can walk up behind him and still cause him to have a flashback, and it's been 35 years since that happened. And he has one. He has a flashback. You can see it happen. Shelley.
What?
Who are our friends back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com!
Yikes. You can go to recovery101.net and click on the banner and get there from there. And you can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. If you have a recovery home or something like that, sober living, that sort of thing, he will send you hard copy copies, actual paper.
He'll send you papers,
yes, so that you can strew them about,
actual gazettes,
yes, you can strew them about so people can read them.
That's right. And then you can see the Gazette Girl centerfold.
Dude, you know what?
I know.
He should have that.
I'm like, wait a minute. I just read the last one. I don't remember that.
Skinny girl, 6 teeth.
You know, we used to have the recovery.
Girl, 6 teeth.
Do you remember how it started? We do a recovery band of the month, mm-hmm,
or
the
whatever.
Quarter or whatever. Mm-hmm. We used to do the recovery girl of the month.
Yep.
The page five girl.
Page three.
Yeah. What?
The sun.
Yeah. The sun. Oh, nothing is better than the weekly world news. Bat boy found in cave. I love those. Shelly.
What?
What if they want to...
Oh, I forgot where I was. I was on the franchise. Yes, if you would like a franchise, you can contact Bruce and he will set you up with a franchise so you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your little burg.
Real turnkey. I think he sends it with all of the articles and stuff. You might want to change, you know, the editor's notes, but comes with certain national advertising and everything. You sell all your local stuff. Yeah.
Contact him. He'll give you everything you need.
Mark.
What?
Someone wants to listen somewhere other than Facebook or something, or even iTunes. Where could they go?
Recovery101.net.
Sweet.
They'll take you to the Podomatic site. When the show comes up, as you're listening to the show, there's a little box underneath the little playbill thing. It says like. Click
what if
like.
They don't like it.
Then they shouldn't be listening.
They should click like anyway.
Yeah. You click like, it says become a member of Podomatic. You fill in the required boxes, clicks a bit, and you become a member.
It's like the largest pod server in the world. It sounds expensive to join.
Yeah, but they'll take payments. It's free.
It's free.
And fun.
For free and for fun.
That's right.
We've got email addresses at YouTube.
We have no YouTube email addresses.
I've been eating a lot of hallucinogens, I'm telling you.
I know you have.
Recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com. If you'd like to join the crack advertising staff or advertise with us, you can actually contact us at any of those email addresses, but we like recovery101radiosales@gmail.com.
Right.
We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook. And youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure as F don't. Shelly, who's the lead on music by?
8 Days Clean.
I like 8 Days Clean, period. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
That's all, folks.
Good grief. Now you've put me off my stride there. I don't know. Have a nice day. Good night.
A puzzle, I'm the missing piece. I'm swimming through your